But some scientists say new biosafety labs could lead to better safety practices. These labs help researchers work more safely than they could without them, says Gigi Grovel, a biosecurity scientist at Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore, Maryland, adding, "Assuming that people are trained well and equipment is updated, I am not concerned by the array of BSL-3 labs."
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is Viewpoints. You are listening to I'm Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio for today's discussion are two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Sheikh Rouhani and Dr. Mohammad Reza Fakhr Rouhani, a faculty member of the University of Qom. Sheikh Rouhani, assalamu alaikum, welcome to your show.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. And Dr. Fakhr Rouhani, assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Today we want to talk about an important concept in Islam, and that is waqf, or it's better roughly translated into endowments, Islamic endowments. Let's start first with the definition of waqf and the role that it has in a Muslim land society. Sheikh Rouhani, what is waqf exactly?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Waqf has four rukns or four pillars.
Mm-hmm.
One is the sighatul waqf, the way that you say the wordings of waqf. Mm-hmm. When you, for example, do waqf, you have to say a special kind of sentences or words according to which you do the waqf. The second thing is the thing that you do waqf on, that or that you embow to the others.
Okay.
And so these rukns are important, that should be there. So, and also waqf is something that you distribute, we can say tharwa, or we can say money among the people freely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
That's right.
It means it's a kind of distribution of the tharwa among people. So that's why the role of waqf is really significant.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes you see that nowadays in modern societies, we have some classes of the people who are so much rich, and then we have numberless people who are homeless people.
Yes.
It seems that this economical system cannot solve the problem of these homeless people.
Yes.
But in Islam, there are some solutions for these kind of problems. What is one of them is waqf, that when you are, for example, when you have this capacity or capability to do something as waqf, you can do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and help the poor people to get a better, let's say, quality of life.
That's right.
I think that's why waqf is, even nowadays, is very much important, and its role in establishing brotherhood or, like,
yes,
let's say, a kind of prosperous life for all the members of the society, it is important.
So whatever you have as a personal property can be endowed. Yeah. In the way of Islam, in order to help or contribute to the, we can say, the life and the lifestyle of the people, especially the Muslims in the land, isn't it?
Yeah, of course, because if the number of the poor people increase in society,
yes.
Of course, the more the numbers increase, the more you will have unsafe kind of society.
Mm-hmm.
Because these poor people will create lots of problems for the rich people.
That's right.
That's why it is a best solution for even for the rich people to have a peaceful life.
Mm-hmm. That's all right. Okay, Dr. Farhwani, what about you, brother? How do you define waqf, and what are the main categories of waqf?
Yes, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. It seems that the basic philosophy behind waqf is that everybody, especially those people who are capable of doing something eternal and good to Muslim community, and I mean in a larger scale to human community, should try to minimize the burden problems of the poor people.
Yes.
For example, when there's a rich person and he's capable of establishing, for example, a school or a library or a hospital, he's encouraged to do so. Granted that rich person pays off his homes annually, or, for example, is attentive to the needs of other people, yet establishing something like, for example, a hospital, a library, a school, or anything else,
yes,
makes it more memorable.
Yes.
And in this way, we find that the air or the condition of larger socio-economic cooperation, mm-hmm, and integrity becomes very much established,
yes,
in that society.
Okay, that's right.
This is one. And another point in this regard is that in the Islamic religion, not only the individual relation of people with God is emphasized, rather the social integration of people on the one side and their integration and their connection with God is highly emphasized in this regard.
That's right.
So when someone establishes a mosque, mm-hmm, a Hosseiniya, a library,
a hospital, a school, that's right,
or for example anything else for public welfare,
yes,
donates it in the cause of God,
yes,
for the posterity,
yes,
for the public,
mm-hmm,
it teaches other people that he hasn't been oblivious of the needs of the other people.
That's right.
This is one. And another, mm-hmm, one is that as people want to be remembered in a good way,
mm-hmm,
we find that the name of the donor,
yes,
is inscribed, is mentioned,
yes,
and even to some extent, even centuries after,
yes,
the death of that important person, his name is still shining over.
Yes,
there.
That's right.
Yes.
Especially when it is a school, university, or hospital, we,
yes,
could see the names, we can say, all across. Some of them, of course, we can say on purpose,
yeah,
do not want their names to be disclosed, and secretly this donation or we can say allocation or endowment is done. But as you said, sometimes the amount of the waqf or endowment or the number of the places, we can say, and the properties are so many that an organization, and in some Muslim lands, we can say a ministry is established in order to take care of the
imam. And to regulate.
And to regulate, in fact, the affairs of the people. It shows important. It's really like a ministry in some of the countries, which shows the importance of the endowment on waqf. And so many people benefit, really. So many Muslims benefit from the endowment. Okay, Sheikh Rouhani, what more do you have for us?
Yes, one of the really important points that should be taken into consideration while talking about waqf or khums or zakat, these kind of things,
mm-hmm,
of course, it's a kind of text kind of system. We consider it like modern kind of text system or taxation. But the main difference here between Islamic kind of texts or this kind of paying khums or zakat, these kind of things, is this, that paying khums, paying zakat, or let's say paying waqf or doing waqf, is a kind of ibadah, it's a kind of worship.
Yes.
In addition, mm-hmm, to that kind of economical aspect,
yes,
it has a kind of a spiritual aspect and
very
dimension
good.
That should
very
be also taken into consideration. That is why there are lots of rewards,
mm-hmm,
for waqf, for the,
yes,
one who do waqf.
Yes, yes.
not only in this life, but also in the hereafter life.
Okay.
We have lots of rewards for these kind of people. So that's why sometimes Muslims might ask that, okay, we pay, for example, tax for the governments. Then why should we pay again? Why should we do waqf? Why should we pay again khums or zakat?
Okay.
We should remember that this is a kind of ibadah.
Mm-hmm.
It's a kind of worship.
Yes.
So, of course, these mawqufat or these kind of payments that we have, of course, they have its own, let's say, earthly effects or kind of, in this world, they have
benefits,
its own effects and benefits.
Yes.
But of course, what matters most here is the hereafter life, that in that life, you will be rewarded. You will be enjoying the, let's say, outcomes of this waqf that you did in this life for eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
It would be kind of eternal kind of rewards that you will receive.
That's
why it's very significant for, it's very significant for us to be aware of the importance of waqf in our lives.
As you said, because it is a kind of a body work, we can say spiritual religious work, so there are some conditions, we can say, about the property, authenticity of the property, purity of the property, we can say the pure intention of the waqf or the endower, we can say, and all these cases has to be taken into account. It is not like, for example, I don't know, the surplus or the money that you put in a bank, and at the end of the month you got the interest, and the interest higher, you know, the higher the interest is, the higher would be the waqf that you put on the market. No, this is not so. And a person who is after, we can say, doing waqf has to be religiously pure, his halal income has to be taken into account, and there are so many details to be taken into account when they are doing a waqf.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.com.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah.
Dr. Fakhwani, you are a scholar, you are a professor at the university. Can, for example, a person endows his books somewhere as a waqf or something like that? I don't know. For example, you have a specific or precious books, for example, or manuscripts. Can you do waqf on them?
Yes. Actually, for a bibliophile or for a lover of books, it's really not very hard, but it's a kind of sacrifice for such a person to donate his personal books that he has collected over the years to another place. In this regard,
would you do it yourself?
Yes, I've already endowed, I've already donated thousands of my books to the libraries of Imam Hussein's Holy Shrine.
Uh-huh.
Yes, very fine books.
That's right.
And I'm very proud of it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel very happy in this regard.
Okay.
But
so how is the process is being done? I mean, when you do a waqf, a book, for example,
yes,
to the library of Imam al-Hussein. Just
yes,
give us
actually,
a picture.
I take a pen and I write on the title page of the book or somewhere, I mean, appropriate on the book, that this book has been donated to the library of Imam Hussein's Holy Shrine.
Do you write it in English?
Yeah, in English or in Arabic.
Well, what do you say in Arabic?
No, it's equivalent in Arabic.
I know. What do you write on the title page?
Yeah, I write, I mean, waqf ala maktabat al-imam al-Hussein alayhi salam.
That's all.
And that's all. Okay.
This
and
is a kind of waqf name, isn't
no,
it?
No, no. Waqf name is something totally different.
What
I mean,
is
it's,
it?
Of course, it's a formal letter.
Uh-huh,
okay?
It's a formal
it
letter.
It must have a beginning, a main text, and a conclusion. But in order to donate a book, okay, I mean, in this way, okay, it isn't that much, I mean, hard. Yet, it must be indicated that, to my knowledge, at least tens of important people, yes, not only from Iraq, but also from other countries, even from the United States,
okay,
donated their personal libraries to the library of Imam al-Hussein's holy shrine in Karbala.
That's all okay? Right. Okay.
And our purpose, not only mine, mm-hmm, but those of other, I mean, donors of books to, yes, the library, this was our shared or common interest, yes, or common, I mean, purpose, that after our lives in this world, still our books will, uh-huh, be, I mean, will prove helpful, yes, yes, for the posterity.
Okay. Okay.
At the same time, it must be indicated that, yes, it can be done with regard to one's books. However, as Sheikh Rouhani is present here, nobody is entitled to donate all his, I mean, possessions, yes, so just a certain portion. Yes. I mean, okay, it has a certain, I mean, percentage, mm-hmm, a certain percentage of one's properties can be donated to a, right, to a certain place, because, okay, I mean, I shouldn't deprive my children, mm, for example, my wife and my children of, yes, my own properties.
Yes, yes.
They do have some, yes, some, yes, rights, yes, in this, yes, regard. Yes. So, okay, I have to calculate, for example,
so
these
to,
books,
yeah,
I don't,
okay,
I don't need anymore, or, oh, for example, of these books, okay, I have several copies. Okay,
so you
I
have to observe justice among,
certainly,
the family members and your
rationality is the,
okay,
is the,
right,
basic criterion in this regard.
That's all right.
Yes.
That's really beautiful. And in this way, I think so many problems of the Muslim lands will be solved. Like, for example, poverty, lack of housing, helping the people in order to get married, young people especially, providing the dowries for the new girls who want to, we can say, get married, and so many other problems of the Muslim lands with the help of the administration and the government. This is important. Because in this case, as I heard, in so many Muslim lands, in Egypt, in Saudi Arabia, in Kuwait, in Islamic Republic of Iran, in Bahrain, in Iraq, we have so many big organizations in order to take care of the endowment and the waqf of the society. And I think they can help a lot, because the people who want to do endowment trust them, give them the right power. And this giving power, we can say, is really important over here. Okay, Sheikh Rouhani, what about you? Any other function of the waqf can you mention for us in the society?
Yeah, of course. One of the really important point here that should be mentioned is that sometimes we might mistakenly assume that when you do waqf or imbow something for the other people, it's a kind of loss. But you see, while it is a kind of income that you have for yourself, huh, both spiritually and, as I mentioned, also economically, and let's say in this worldly life. So that is why for our people, for Muslims, it's really important that nowadays they should take it into account that they should do waqf, because waqf, as Dr. rightly mentioned, there's no need to imbow all your properties.
Yes.
Just part of it. But the good influences, or the positive, let's say, impacts that it has on the lives of you yourself, mm-hmm, I mean, the waqif, and also your society, your people, your relatives, and the poor people, and also the rewards that it has for
yes,
your hereafter life. We should consider all these different aspects and dimensions of waqf,
that's right,
and do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Okay.
So this way, of course, we can solve lots of problems,
yes,
particularly for the youth, for
that's
the young,
right,
generations who have lots of problems nowadays in different countries.
In order to be more familiar with the concept of waqf, I would like to introduce some books for you over here. Ahkam al-Waqf fi Shariat al-Islamiyya, written by Muhammad Obaid al-Kubaisi, has been also translated into Persian language, based on the ideas and the fatwas of different denominations inside Islam. The concept of waqf has been tackled. Al-Mustalahat al-Waqfiyya, written by Ubaidullah Atiqi and Khalid Shu'aib, and this is another book. And also Ayatollah Jafar Subhani has written an outstanding book, Ahkam al-Waqf fi Shariat al-Islamiyya. This is, again, an outstanding book, of which I invite dear listeners to go and visit and read out these books. And all in all, I could say that waqf and the public endowment and a specific endowment in Islam can really help to take care of the affairs of the Muslims, not only in your Islamic land, but all across the world. You know, it helps you to take care of the people and the poor Muslims and the people who are under the oppression all around the world. Thank you very much, Dr. Farhwani.
Welcome.
For a nice elaboration and explaining your experience of Waqf. I'm Sheikh Rouhani. Thank you very much, too.
Thank you very much.
And dear listener, thank you very much, too, for listening to this episode of the program Viewpoints. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.com/EN Call of Islam page. Also, our YouTube channel, Instagram page, Call of Islam Radio. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and here is some interesting food for thought. We present you a hadith from the Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, of how best to educate your children so that they will be successful in both this world and in the afterlife. Teach your children three habits: to love your Prophet, to love his Ahlul Bayt, and to recite the Holy Quran. Because the carrier of the Quran will be in the shade of Allah, along with his Prophet and the chosen ones, that is the Ahlul Bayt, on the day when there will be no shade except that of Allah.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/EN.
Cultural news, social news,
Scientific news. Artistic news. With delight.
Most of the time, you have to visit an exhibition to see art. But what if art comes to see you instead? Well, a group of artists in Mali have created a floating art venue that will travel up and down the River Niger. It's called the Pirogue du Zem, which is a floating vessel. It's designed to host plays, exhibitions, dance shows, and so much more. The idea is to make art a movable feast that is no longer restricted to fixed venues in cities and accessible to all people. The project was created by a local artist and architect who had a vision to bring art to the masses. The vessel is 20 meters long and 6 meters wide, built with storage and enough space for exhibition. Government officials say the floating venue will showcase Mali's talents and creativity while attracting tourists. Robots are slowly but surely becoming part of everyday life, taking on human roles in different areas. Now, fast food restaurants can make French fries faster and better as a robot called Flippy 2 takes over the job.
When an order comes in through the restaurant system, it automatically spits out the instructions to Flippy. Takes a frozen product, fries it for the precise amount of time, and puts the finished product in the end. It does it faster, more accurately, more reliably, and happier than most humans do it.
Flippy 2 has been created in a robotic lab in California called MISO after 5 years of efforts by its developers. According to the project engineers, a really good understanding of the food science is needed to make sure the food quality is there, how different food sticks together, and how the temperature and heat affect it. The MISO CEO says the machine can cook several meals with different recipes simultaneously, removing the need for catering staff.
This technology utilizes a whole bunch of computer vision. There's cameras throughout the system, including right here we have these food identification cameras. The cameras not only guide the robot and tell it exactly where it is in space and how to move through this area, but also identifies the food type and it knows the recipe for each one.
The MISO CEO says tasks like the fry station are the kind that humans are most happy to offload. The name Flippy comes from the original machine designed to flip burgers, which was not very useful for restaurants. A celebrated Chinese artist integrates his life experiences and the beauty of his homeland using his own distinctive style of traditional painting. Chen Jialing is known for his Chinese ink paintings. Chen brings to life the imaginative richness and culture through his depictions of landscape with every brush of color. He is most famous for breaking traditional painting techniques while staying within the framework of the art form. Chen says one of his favorite subjects is the Jianggong Mountains, especially during certain hours when the sunlight offers its own visual delights.
The composition of this painting is based on the main peak of the Jianggong Mountains, because the main peak is the most majestic and imposing, especially at noon. The sun shines on the trees, forming a contour light involving trees and the large mountains, which is extremely beautiful.
The 85-year-old artist has also used fused traditional landscape painting with modern technology. Though Chen has participated in numerous art exhibitions, but he says his first solo exhibit was held in his 70s, and that's when his career really took off. Chen says he plans to paint as much of his homeland's stunning scenery as possible during his lifetime.
freedom is an essential virtue that is valued not only by humans but animals as well, just like two eagle owls that have been released into the wild after being born in a Madrid zoo. The two owl twins were freed after months of training to survive in the nature. First, they were taken to a big aviary to develop the necessary skills, including those for hunting prey. The aviary is designed to have a similar environment to the local mountain range. Meantime, they need to gain muscle and come to a suitable weight. After passing various skill tests, the owls are released as part of Madrid Zoo's breeding program of night birds of prey. 7 eagle owls and 11 barn owls have been released since the program was launched in 2017. However, some of them flew back seeking shelter as they failed to adapt to the nature.
On the outskirts of China's metropolis, Shanghai, a tiny island has been dubbed Cat Island as it provides shelter for stray animals. Since it opened last month, a charity based on the island is taking in cats, mainly brought from Shanghai residents. These small carnivorous mammals are neutered and evaluated, and those with good temper and health are allowed to roam free on the island. The city's Stray Cats Management Center says their trap-neuter-release policy is to protect stray cats, limits their population, and maintain ecological balance. However, Shanghai has an estimated 200 stray cats per square kilometer, which means other methods will be needed to control the urban population, stray cats. A pair of baby panda twins make their debut appearance at the Chongqing Zoo in southwest China, with visitors flocking to cherish the abundance of cuteness.
Our returnee panda, Ershan, gave birth to the twin brother and sister on July 22nd this year. Currently, the elder brother weighs 4.3 grams and the younger sister weighs 0.6 grams. They're in good condition at present.
The twins' first public appearance was on Saturday, the first day of the week-long National Day holidays. During this week, the pair of giant panda cubs will be on display in the nursery of the panda house of the zoo. Their mother, Ershan, once lived in Canada as a goodwill envoy, but returned to her homeland in 2020. This was Ershan's second delivery of twins. A total of 21 pandas currently live in the Chongqing Zoo, which has been breeding giant pandas since the 1960s. The evolution of robots has been one of the fascinations of recent technological developments. And now the most cutting-edge achievements in that department were presented to the public during a conference in Beijing. The four-day annual World Robot Conference was held both offline and online. It featured three major events, including forum, expo, and competition. On display were more than 500 sets of robots from 130 companies from China and abroad. The conference gave an idea of how the future of humanity will be impacted by the automations. It shows how they can contribute to different sectors, from the restaurant industry and medicine to elderly care, agriculture, and manufacturing.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
An aircraft powered by electricity may still be some way off, but one of its types is already here thanks to a whole range of innovative solutions being developed by aviation firms. American company Aviation Aircraft has debuted its all-electric plane in Washington State. The aircraft, named Alice, took off the runway at Grand County International Airport and flew for 8 minutes. It reached an altitude of 3,500 feet before touching down the ground. According to the company, the aircraft produces no carbon emissions, significantly reduces noise, and costs a fraction to operate compared to usual light jets. The company says it continues to develop and tweak the plane's battery system for an hour flight.
We're targeting a design criteria of 35 minutes for a charge. And so that'll be a charge for the typical route length. It's actually, as I just said, it's actually a design point. So going back to the comment I made earlier about designing batteries for aircraft, it's one of the considerations is how quickly do we want it to charge? How much power do you want to be able to draw from it? So again, we're targeting, call it 30 minutes of charge for an hour of flight time, or about 2C if you're...
The company aims to find its way into the market for trips that sit between 150 and 250 miles, a range that features aircraft similar in size to Alice. It will also be for both commuter and cargo flights. For aircraft manufacturers, this paradigm shift is driving fuel savings in flight and on the ground, reducing carbon footprints and NOx emissions, while also improving reliability and cutting maintenance costs. Many people of the world are supported almost completely by animals because they live in areas unsuitable for animal husbandry. But these days, even some city dwellers are making their living out of animals, like a Virginia girl. Andrea Diaz quit her job at a restaurant and started to rent her pet alpacas to cheer up steer crazy Americans during the pandemic. Since the launch of her business in 2020, it has expanded from 2 to 14 alpacas. Interestingly, 5 with fluffy pets are regularly making a paid appearance at birthdays, weddings, restaurants, and offices. She charges a starting price of $95 per hour. Diaz says the best part is when there are kids' birthday parties, but even it's really a fun for the adults. She calls alpacas a good exposure because they attract people.
In most of its habitats, the heavily trafficked pangolin faces the biggest threat from humans. But in Taiwan, these gentle creatures are exposed to quite a different danger, feral dogs. In the island, a government policy has led to a surge in the population of feral dogs. The pangolins share most of their roaming area with the stray animals. Plus, these scaly animals cannot move as fast as their attackers. When faced with danger, pangolins curl themselves into a ball shape, but the tail still remains at the most outer side, and that's where the dogs hit them hard.
Ecuador's Galapagos National Park is testing different coral replanting methods in an effort to restore fragile underwater ecosystems around local islands.
These corals are important because they are recyclers in the ocean. They convert all the CO2 into oxygen. These corals are important because they are refuges, nurseries, and nursery areas for some fish species.
Coral reef die-offs affect the marine food supply chains and are considered a major climate tipping point. The experimental project is run by park rangers and volunteers in a bay on Santa Cruz Island. Since 2020, they have tested how corals reproduce when they are placed on surfaces like bricks, cement, or tied together in strong unmetal frames. They're growing samples in a nursery before adding them to bay. The rangers are reporting improvements with the appearance of new fish near the replanted corals.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of the Almighty Allah. Dear brothers, dear sisters, salam alaikum. Welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Today we're going to speak about waiting for a better tomorrow, so be with us.
Yourself, can't you see this wonder spread in front of you? The clouds floating by, the sky so clear and blue, planets in their orbits, the moon and the sun, such perfect harmony. Let's start questioning ourselves, isn't this proof enough for us?
But first, we'll look at the calendar. Today, Saturday, is the 18th of Rabiul Awwal, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 23rd of Mehr, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 15th of October, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. For blessing this moment, we'll listen to chapter Al-Isra, from the Holy Quran, verse 82.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وننزل من القرآن ما هو شفاء ورحمة للمؤمنين ولا يزيد الظالمين إلا خسارا.
And we send down of the Quran that which is healing and mercy for the believers, but it does not increase the wrongdoers except in loss.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Yes, as the previous noble verses dealt with the issues of monotheism and the right of organizing campaigns against paganism and the wrong, this verse takes up the issue of extraordinary role of the Quran and its constructive impact. The blissful Quran is a curing prescription for setting all in order and the betterment of the individuals and the society from all kinds of ethical and social diseases.
Every morning I wake up and see the splendor of Allah's beauty. The sky adorned the silent trees. Praise be to Him supreme is He. Praise be to Him supreme is He.
As I set to start my day, I think of Allah and I pray. His blessings are with me always. Praise be to Him, most kind is He. Praise be to Him, most kind is He.
As I told you, the topic of this episode of today's special is waiting for a better tomorrow. One of the things that has always given us the most peace through Islam is knowing that the past is just that. It says where it is in God's eyes, and the future is another day. We can make every day a new day through dua, I mean supplication, through tawbah, I mean repentance, and by looking positively towards the future and working towards it. This awesome combination ensures that we can always have hope in a better tomorrow, either this world or in the next.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad and his purified progeny. In this show, we are going to talk about how to make a better tomorrow. In order to make a better tomorrow, we need to understand the day that we are in, that is today. So to build our future and tomorrow, we must start from today and be careful what we say for our future. So we cannot neglect our today or whatever we have it at the moment. If we do not foresee tomorrow from today, we may not have a way back and half of our opportunities will be lost. Actually, life is a collection of opportunities. Whoever seizes it and takes advantage of it gains life with it, and whoever misses an opportunity has lost a part of life. So it's our duty to take best use of the opportunities. How many opportunities come to a poor person, but he does not use them? It is as if an opportunity has not come. So as a result, the person remains poor. And there are many poor people who make the best use of opportunities and their lives turn from poverty to a rich status, to richness, let's say. The rich are not born rich from their mothers. And let's say the rich, the rich are not born even from a rich mother. But many of them took advantage of the opportunities and started a new life. So they understood the time that they were in. They understood their present. That is why the Imam alayhi salam calls everyone to take advantage of the opportunities before they are lost. And he says, "Al-fursatu tamurru mara as-sahab, fantahizu furas al-khayr." Meaning opportunity passes as clouds pass. Seize good opportunities. IRIB English Radio. Recitation as well as translation of Quran.
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ.
And we certainly gave Moses the scripture that perhaps they would be guided.
Short commentary of the Quran. Islamic issues.
Institution of the family in Islam is the most beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The life of the infallible. All in all, in today's special, IRIB English Radio.
New You, the True Rebirth. The story of mankind shows that God created men and women to honor them, not humiliate them, and to empower them, not overpower them on earth. The sign acts of worship, which are fairly easy to perform, are to keep them connected with their Lord, praising his blessings and remembering his rights. Eternity in heaven is what God desires for people, but many have refused and many still refuse to respond and follow his straight path. Thus, desires started following them from every path, and the earth became filled with their transgressions and abominations. So now repentance brings a complete rebirth. The victorious return that pleases Allah is that in which man triumphs over weakness and laziness, crushes under his feet the germs of sins, breaks free from the chains of desires, and lifts himself up to a higher level of faith. You are with today's special from IRIB English Radio. Now we'll look at things to do right now to make tomorrow a better day. One of the things is meditate. While you are isolated and distraction-free, set aside some time to meditate. It's simpler than you might think. Your goal here is to free your mind of any wandering thoughts, distractions, and general clutter that can stress you out and reinforce your negative feelings. Anytime a new thought enters your mind, visualize yourself letting it go and return to a state of mindfulness. It might take some practice, but the physical and mental benefits are numerous. You'll feel better, you'll think more clearly, and you'll be less stressed, all of which should carry over at least partially into tomorrow.
Is it possible that a person can overcome their past and move forward to a brighter future and to improve their present? Is it possible to deal with a very negative past to build a brighter future? Absolutely. This is possible. Not only is it possible, but it's been done by millions of people. First of all, my dear friends, let us remember a very, very important point. And this is something that we should never forget. And that is that Allah Azza wa Jal is all merciful. Allah is all forgiving. There's not a sin that Allah doesn't forgive from our past. Any sin that we've committed out of ignorance or out of being tricked by the shaitan or being tricked by our nafs, we allow desire to take over us, we allow temptation to fool us, and we committed mistakes. And now we are truly remorseful. Now we truly regret. We regret that past. We like to run away from that past. We're embarrassed of what we did, or who we were, or what sort of past we had. We're ashamed of it. We're embarrassed of it. We'd like to change it. But we can't, because you cannot erase the past. Remember that Allah Azza wa Jal is all forgiving. Allah accepts our repentance. If we truly repent sincerely and we are truly remorseful, Allah will forgive us. In fact, feeling remorseful in itself is seeking forgiveness. It's a form of repentance.
Dear brothers and sisters, thank you very much for joining us. It seems that our time is over, so inshallah we continue this interesting topic in the next episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Don't forget, follow us on parstoday.com/en. We're going to speak about waiting for a better tomorrow. Till tomorrow, have a nice time.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi, Aliyul Imami. La fata illa Ali, Aliyul Imami,
علي إمامي علي إمامي
لا إله إلا الله الله ربي
محمد نبي علي إمامي
لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.